Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and you can listen to podcast as well at that same website. Go under local programming, Your Financial Choices, and peruse prior topics that have been aired on WDIY. Good evening, everyone. Today is November 20th, 2019. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 27,821, the NASDAQ at 85.26, and the S&P at 3108. And I don't have last week's numbers, which I'll try to make sure I have next week. Our topic tonight is the holidays, family and money. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And if you're not comfortable talking live on air with me, you're certainly welcome to still call in with questions. Just give it to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, our topic this evening is the holidays, family and money. So I do always think, you know, when I'm trying to think of ideas for the show, I think, well, what's going on, you know, at this time of year? And I think, well, Thanksgiving, the holidays, so many times family are getting together. So that's usually, we hope, that wonderful time to be with family, give thanks for our blessings. Families come together. That can also bring a lot of tensions as well. Tensions rising from sibling rivalry, fairness, who's helping, who's not, who can afford something and who cannot, who's the favorite. And a lot of that comes out around these holiday times. And in fact, it could be an indication of how things might look in the future when there might be a need or a situation that arises. So I also think it's a time that financial topics might come up when the families are together. Maybe we have an aging parent and, you know, one sibling says to the other, have you noticed mom's not doing as well lately? What do you think? Is she going to be okay? So sometimes financial topics do present themselves. I think it's worthwhile to consider raising the topic of who will be handling the financial affairs of our loved ones should the need arise. And I think what happens, too, is sometimes I don't want people to make the mistake of thinking it only applies to our elderly parents, because it doesn't. This conversation can happen at any age. We are faced with all different kinds of situations where this would be a very important conversation to have. When might it apply? Not just our elderly parents. It could be illness. It could be disability. It could be incapacity. It could be divorce. And it could be death. So illness, disability, incapacity, divorce, and death can happen at any time. It is not necessarily favored to one age. Statistically, yes, typically when we're older, but it can impact anyone at any age. So when I say, who might this apply to? It could be our minor children. It could be our adult children. It could be parents. It could be grandparents. It could be aunts. It could be uncles. It could be partners. It could be friends. Anyone who's important in your life that may be relying on you to help them in the event they have a financial situation. So it could be friends, family, whatever. So for example, sometimes we have friends in our life that we share more of our financial information with than our own family. You might have that trusted person, that person who's advising you as you go along. If something happens to you and you were thinking all along, gosh, maybe, you know, I could have that trusted friend be my power of attorney or be my executor or whatever it might be, and something happens to you and you haven't put that in order, all of a sudden it's not your trusted friend who's probably going to get appointed to help you. It might be, you know, your sibling who you don't trust, you know. So you kind of want to really think about these things now when you can. That's what I like to think about, when you can control it. So how might the conversation go? What should you include? Who has to know what? I'm hoping that as we go through the show, we're going to kind of shine a light on some of the implications of having these conversations and what they might look like and what might be sensitive subjects, such as moving a loved one into a new living situation. I think that is really one of those conversations that quite often does happen around the holidays when we're visiting our elderly parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, because, you know, we might not have our parents here anymore. We might just be that support person for an aunt and an uncle or a grandparent, or we might not have children, but we might have a niece or nephew. So we want to kind of think about all of these things. Now, I first want to start with a New York Times article, which was written on August 2nd, 2019 by Paul Sullivan. And that article indicated that 2/3 of Americans with at least $3 million in investable assets have not talked to their children about their wealth or never will. According to, and that was through a study done by Merrill Private Wealth Management, when they interviewed or polled, surveyed 650 families. And I thought that is striking. And that could be because Merrill Private Wealth probably had wealthy families, and that's where they got those statistics. But I bet if we did the same kind of study or survey on households with $1 million of investable assets, or a household with $500,000 of investable assets, or a household with $250,000 of investable assets, we might find very similar results. So that's 2/3 of Americans that have not talked to their children about their wealth or never will. And again, that study was on 3 million, but I'm saying I think we could probably say that might apply to even more. They listed the reasons that people avoid talking about their wealth as, one, you do not want an inheritance to rob the children or heirs of motivation. And I'm going to repeat these. I'm just going to go through them real quick first. Two, they are too anxious to talk about something that may seem sensitive. Three, people may avoid the talk because they don't know themselves. Either their wealth or the answers to the questions that the discussion may elicit. So that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing some of the article. And number four, people may feel they made their own wealth. So I'm going to talk about these in a little bit more detail and what the implications are. So again, the first one, you do not want an inheritance to rob the children or heirs of motivation. The co-author of the study said the deeper reason he felt is really that it's more about fear and control, and the fear to relinquish that control, and the deeper psychological issues about money. So if you are someone who finds yourself saying this, that the reason you don't talk about your wealth or your money to the trusted advisors around you or your family members who may end up being those trusted advisors, if you find yourself saying, well, you know, I don't want, you know, the kids or my nieces or nephews or whoever might be getting this money, I don't want them to lose their motivation to work hard. And if they think they're going to get this inheritance, they may not work hard. Is that truly the reason you're not addressing it, or is there really something else behind it? All right, so we'll finish kind of going through this list, and then we're going to talk a little bit about some of these topic areas and what is important to talk about with the family. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you are listening to Your Financial Choices. Tonight, the week before Thanksgiving, we are talking about the holidays and family and money and what we can kind of do about that to maybe approach these topics with the family members around us. And it, for me, as an advisor, it's not just the parents having to talk to the children and kind of helping them understand maybe what their responsibilities may end up being as the parents age, if it's a situation like that, because not everybody has children. But it could be the younger generation also maybe needing some guidance from the older generation. And again, that might be parents, it might be grandparents, it might be aunts or uncles, whoever it might be that they're going to for guidance. It's broaching these subjects to really gain more information. I always feel like with information, you're empowered and you can make better decisions. And it's always better to be in front of those decisions, be proactive about them rather than inactive or reactive, excuse me. So again, back to this article from the New York Times by Paul Sullivan on August 2nd, 2019. He had said that this study from Merrill Private Wealth had talked about the reasons people avoid talking about their wealth, about not wanting their heirs to lose motivation. Well, one of the things they mentioned in the article was that children emulate you. And again, it could be nieces, nephews. If they're looking at you for kind of how you have managed your finances and life, they probably already have an idea of where things are and what's going on. So what kind of an example have you been to them? Have you spent all your money frivolously, or have you had conversations about saving money and be careful with your money and saving for retirement and things like that? So when you talk about maybe one of the reasons that you're avoiding talking about your wealth and you don't want to rob the children of motivation, if you've already been a really good example to them about working hard, then maybe that isn't a true fear or a true reason to avoid that conversation. We had a caller call in off air. So Sharon from Allentown called in with a question. Are her brokerage accounts that are TOD subject to Pennsylvania inheritance tax? Thank you for that call, Sharon. So first, let me explain what TOD is, which is transfer on death. So you can have an individual account or a joint account with a designation on it called transfer on death. And what happens if you pass away, if you have a joint account, it would pass to the joint owner. If it's not a joint account, and even with a joint account, you can still have a transfer on death designation. If you're the individual owner or the survivor and you have a transfer on death designation, it would then pass to whoever's on the transfer on death. That makes it non-probate, meaning it's not going to be subject to probate or go through your estate. But yes, it will still be subject to Pennsylvania inheritance tax if you're a Pennsylvania resident and the decedent had control of the account. So Sharon, let's pretend you have a joint account with a spouse with a transfer on death designation. Transfer a joint account would first go to the spouse, the surviving spouse. If something happened to both of you, though, you and your spouse, or if it's an individual account, just yours, and you have that transfer on death designation, that would still be non-probate. And the inheritance tax that would apply to that depends on the relationship of those beneficiaries. So if you have a transfer on death account to your children and you have no surviving spouse and the account goes to your children in Pennsylvania, the inheritance tax is 4.5%. And those children would have to report their share of that account. If it's you have three children, it might be a third each. The children will report their share of that brokerage account and pay inheritance tax on their share at 4.5%. Now, you might have an executor who's appointed, and if you have an estate, even though these are non-probate assets, your will may say, pay the inheritance tax on my estate, have the estate pay the inheritance tax on my estate, no matter how the assets pass to someone. And in that situation, Sharon, your beneficiaries of on this transfer on death designation, the inheritance tax would be paid by the estate in that situation, and the those beneficiaries would get whatever share they were supposed to by that designation. If there is no estate, then Pennsylvania will tell those beneficiaries that the inheritance tax has to come out of their share. So there's a couple different ways to report that when it happens. So hopefully you have, you know, someone appointed, a personal representative, executor, and or a good attorney who will help with that process should anything happen to you to make sure that the inheritance tax is paid the proper way. So for example, if you have different beneficiaries in the will versus the transfer on death, there could be different circumstances when paying that inheritance tax. So you want to make sure you understand what those are and follow that through. So thank you for that question, Sharon. I loved it. And I hope I explained it enough. And we could do a whole show on, you know, non-probate and probate, which, you know, we will have in the next couple months coming up. We have guests lined up to talk about some estate planning, et cetera. So thank you. So talking about the four reasons when we're talking about family and money at the holiday times about not talking about money, one of the reasons sometimes people don't want to talk about it is because they feel like it's sensitive information, so they're anxious about it. Maybe they don't want their kids to know they don't have any money. Maybe they don't want their kids to know they have a ton of money. Whatever the reason might be, they don't feel like talking about it because it caused them anxiety, or they, you know, are sensitive about it. Well, you can talk about it at a very high level without disclosing all the details of the numbers. So I have some clients that are higher net worth. They really don't want their children to know all the value. And at this point, you know, there's two spouses. And, you know, if the expectation is one will survive, eventually the kids will know everything. But maybe at this point in their life, they don't feel compelled to tell them. But they certainly could tell them some broad information, such as who is going to be the power of attorney, who is going to be the executor, who is going to help make healthcare decisions in the event that one spouse doesn't survive the other, or both are incapacitated. Who's going to help make those decisions? If there's one child and you trust that child so much, then they might be able to do it. But what if there's two, three, four children? Who's going to make those kinds of decisions? So you can kind of talk about it very broadly. In situations where there are no children and maybe no parents, and you want to talk to a trusted, you know, relative, maybe a cousin, an aunt, uncle, niece, or nephew who would step into that role for you, it would be really a good idea to kind of start planting the seeds for that if you haven't made that decision already, to see and test maybe who has the responsibility to be able to do that. If you find that, you know, your favorite cousin runs up lots of credit card debt and, you know, owes on everything, maybe they wouldn't be the best person to be your financial person. Maybe if something happened to you, you might not want them to be your power of attorney. So it's a good idea to kind of talk about what you think would ordinarily be sensitive information. You can do that in a roundabout way without giving out too many details and not alerting them to that process that you're trying to go through to kind of find out if they really have the skill set to manage your financial situation in the event that you would need that. Folks, we are at the second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we are talking about family and money since the holidays are coming up, and this is a time where many people get together. Continuing to cite that New York Times article, one of the other reasons people may avoid talking about money with family is they may not know themselves, either their wealth or maybe questions that someone might ask them. So, you know, ignorance basically could be one of the excuses. Like, I don't know what I have. I'm, you know, turned a blind eye to it. It overwhelms me. I don't know. You know, mom and dad used to do that, or brother used to do that, or spouse used to do that. So I really don't know. Well, then get informed. Get informed. And then have those discussions, or say, you know, to your trusted people around you, you know, this is something I'm not really comfortable with. Are you comfortable with it? And who do you rely on for help? Who do you seek out for help? Who do you go to? How can we, you know, get you through this, and how do I get through it, and that type of thing? We have a caller on line one. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. How can I help you?
I'm sorry to be off topic, but open enrollment is ending, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at the different plans they have available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's different deductibles. There's a $500 deductible, a $1,000 deductible, and a $2,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And I always played it safe and went with the 500.
Mm-hmm.
So the deductibles are less, but if you look at the higher deductibles, really the what they take out of your pay every time you get paid is so much less.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to navigate and decide if I should just stick with the plain vanilla. I think most people do the 500.
Right.
Well, and there's other things like your co-pays are higher if you go with the higher deductible, and some of your, it's the co-pays
mm-hmm.
that go up.
So the co-pays go up with the higher deductible, you're saying?
Yeah, I know. That didn't make any sense to me, but it's right here in front of me, like for, you know, urgent care or primary care visit, that sort of thing.
When you look at the 500 deductible and you look at the premiums on the 500 deductible versus the premium, let's say, on the $1,000 deductible,
mm-hmm.
What you're looking at there is if you go with the $1,000 deductible, you're going to have $500 more out of pocket. But if the premiums that you're paying are going to be that much lower, you might want to look to see what other the copays might be under the $1,000 deductible. So you kind of have to see what makes sense and how often you also use medical care. So if people are very, very healthy and they never have to go into their deductible, then a high deductible, low premium plan could look very attractive for those people who don't ordinarily ever have medical expenses. If someone has or knows that, you know, as they're aging, they're going to the doctor more, they have more tests they have to take, there's a chance they could have x-rays or MRIs or prescriptions, then the deductible, you would get to it, you know, it would take a while. At $500, you'd get to your deductible pretty quickly.
Right.
So, I think it's really a personal matter, but I do think as we get older, we understand that quite often we have more expenses, as far as, you know, tests that we have to have and procedures that we have to have and things like that. But if the premiums are, you know, $500 less for the year or $3,000 less for the year, then maybe the difference between the $500 deductible and the $1,000 deductible might be worth it, but maybe the $2,000 would be too big of a hit.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
So that's kind of how I would probably look at it. If you're someone who never needs to go to the doctor and you have no conditions or issues.
Yeah, we don't. And I feel like I'm almost afraid to jinx it.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, Carolyn, when we increased our deductible on our homeowner's insurance, swear, it was like within 2 weeks, a BB went through one of our huge windows in our front entrance. And we just said, wouldn't you know it, right after we raised our deductible. But
couldn't have happened before, right?
Yeah. God. So, well, good luck. But I think it's good. You know, sometimes you could put it in an Excel spreadsheet where you put the deductibles, the premiums, and then the copays, and then when you put those in an Excel spreadsheet, and then you could sit and play with it like 3 visits, 4 visits, or, you know, what if I have this procedure? That might help kind of ballpark it a little bit for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, good luck. I think it is a personal decision.
Yeah, but, it is. And I think that guidance was very good. I'll play with it and see how I feel about the numbers.
Okay. And the other thing, Carolyn, sorry, one other thing. I'd like people to have the deductible funds held aside then. So that if you are going to go with a higher deductible plan, if you make sure that you have that money and that's earmarked for that, then you're never surprised if something happens when you have to kind of put that money out.
Oh,
all right?
Good idea.
Okay.
That's good planning. Thank
all right.
you so much.
Good. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, great call. Thank you so much for that, Carolyn. So there's always decisions that have to be made. And, you know, as I go through the show, healthcare will be one of those that we're going to talk about when we talk about even family and money and the responsibility of healthcare and nursing costs and medical costs as we get older or if we end up having some kind of disability or incapacity. And again, that can happen at any age, at any time. So I always figure let's plan, and if you plan, then hopefully you're ready or nothing happens. Another reason people might avoid talking about their money with family members might be that they're self-made, you made your own wealth. Kind of, to me, goes back to the motivation, but it still could be smart to talk about it. In the article, there was a quote, families that inherit wealth often continue to be wealthy because of the conversations they have. In the article, William T. LaFond, head of family wealth at Wilmington Trust, said many of the firm's clients had preserved their wealth past the third generation because they talked early and often about it. So that is something to keep in mind, that people of wealth try to also be good stewards of that wealth, good stewards, and make sure that they're, you know, making the right decisions. And if they're informing the people around them who are supporting them and their advisors and trusted family members or friends, that they understand what the goals are of that wealth and some of the best decisions that can be made with that. So when we come back from our next break, we are going to discuss some of the things you might want to think about talking about while you still have the power to do so. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 Allentown. It's 7 o'clock. Your current temperature in Lehigh Valley is 45. Tonight is going to be low around 31. And for your Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 51. Thursday night, low around 40. Friday, we're going to have a chance of showers, mainly after 1 p.m. But it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 56. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 29. Saturday, you're going to have a chance of snow before 10 a.m., then rain, and mostly going to be sunny with a high near 46. Saturday night is going to be low around 32, and Sunday, again, snow likely possible mixed with rain before 7 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 48. And for your Sunday night, it's going to be low around 29. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. We are talking about family and money tonight. Great topic for as the holidays loom before us. Good opportunity when you have the family together, family and friends, to talk about maybe what you have done in your preparation of putting your financial house in order. It's a good time to discuss maybe the financials, which could include the assets, the taxes, the cash flow, estate planning documents, wills, power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living wills. And as it applies to, as I mentioned at the top of the show, in situations that may occur, such as illness, disability, incapacity, divorce, death, and to whom it may apply, minor children, adult children, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, who's going to help out. My brother had just mentioned to me that a friend that he's had for years asked him recently if he would be his executor because he has no family. This gentleman is like in his 70s. He has no family. And, you know, my brother lives nearby and they've been friends for a long time. And so you just never know if you're going to be in the situation where someone asks you to do that, but that you may need to do that same thing with someone trusted in your inner circle. So if we are taking care of our own business, if we are asked to help someone, then we also will be more informed and help make better decisions, because you would be serving in a fiduciary capacity in the event you're asked to be like a power of attorney or an executor or a trustee. So the reason we want to kind of talk about some of these things is so that there aren't any surprises. So when I mention at family get-togethers, if we're talking about assets, how a conversation might go would be, let's pretend we're adult children. We could say, hey, mom and dad, or mom or dad, or grandma or grandpa, aunt or uncle, I'm trying to get my financial affairs in order. And, you know, I have a retirement account at work. I have some life insurance there. And maybe I haven't really, thought about what else I should be doing. Have you gone through that? Did you think about any of this at my age? And quite often what you're going to end up hearing is, you know what, I didn't think about it at your age and I really wished I would have. you might hear, well, you know, I don't know. I haven't really done anything either. And then that's the entree to the rest of the conversation, which might be, if you haven't really done anything either, and I'm thinking about doing something, maybe we should talk about this for a minute. Because I realize, you know, that I have to really update beneficiary designations. And I hear people talk about probate and non-probate and what that means. And you realize, whoever you're talking to, that there might be some things we could do while we're alive to help this process in the event anything would happen. So, for example, if I ended up being incapacitated, I started thinking who would handle my financials? And I have to make sure that I am, you know, appointing someone who has responsibility around financial transactions and understands and makes the best decisions for me if I can't. And am I going to have enough money to pay for my housing or my needs, my living needs, if I'm not working? What does that look like? Oh, but wait, I have disability through work too. I wonder if that's enough. Mom, Dad, did you ever have to run into that? Or again, I'm just going to use Mom and Dad as my example and make it easier to talk to you guys tonight. So you want to broach those subjects, something like that. If you feel a hesitancy on the part of the person you're trying to kind of help guide through this on sharing numbers, you can always say, you know, we don't have to talk about numbers at all. I'm not interested in that. I'm just interested in knowing, how does someone anticipate the needs that we might have in our later years? Do we worry about long-term care insurance? Do we, does life insurance get me anything, you know, when I'm alive versus when I'm gone? Hey, have you thought about whether you wanted to stay in your house or do you see yourself moving out of here? And if you stay in the house, are you thinking about doing maybe some renovations? You know, the bedroom's on the second floor and the bathroom's on the second floor. Do you think you'd be in good shape if you could maybe turn the living room into a bedroom and add a bathroom down here? Is that possible? Do you have the money to be able to do that? That might be a great way to stay in your home even longer. So those are some of the kinds of discussions and ways that you can get this going. When we think about, so that's, you know, could be assets. That also could be cash flow. So cash flow could be very important for someone who might want to stay in their home. Or maybe they think they could go into an assisted living facility or an over 55 community, and they might think that's the answer to their woes of being homebound, you know, or alone in a home by themselves. Some over 55 communities or assisted care living communities cost a lot of money. So if you hear parents or grandparents or relatives saying, well, you know, I think I'm just going to do that, you say, well, have you checked into any? Because I understand that in Pennsylvania, this could be quite expensive. And have you explored your options? Because staying in your home may actually be more affordable than moving out if you make some modifications. Or if you're going to look at other living arrangements, what might they look like at a retirement community or some other facility like that? And you might hear, well, you know I can't afford that. Well, what makes you think you can't afford it? Like, what are your sources of income? Are you living on Social Security? Do you have a pension? So those are the ways you kind of try to have that. And again, you don't always have to have specifics, but if that person you're talking with and trying to help, they know that you're thinking of their best interest, and you demonstrate that by the care and communication you're using to help guide them, they might share even more. Because again, you want to be in front of the decisions. Okay, so let's talk about like the estate planning documents. So that is very important. If only half the people in the country really have their estate planning done, Can you imagine how many family conversations, if you have a family get together and all the cousins and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents come, it would be fun to do like Trivial Pursuit. Does anybody know how many people in the country don't have their estate planning done? Oh, who can answer? 50% of the people. And then you look around the room, how many of the people in the room you're with don't have them? And what are they doing about it? What are they doing about it? Because the day something happens, you're going to be sometimes overwhelmed by what you're going through, that you may not be in such a position to have the wherewithal to go get documents updated then. This is why I keep reiterating to take control of this when you have the ability to do so and the power to do so. So, will, that's when you're gone and you're dead. Power of attorney is while you're alive. That is a very, very important document. The power of attorney, especially a durable power of attorney that will work, even if you don't, you could be disabled, but not mentally incapacitated, but maybe you can't go to the bank to, you know, take a withdrawal and you might want your power of attorney to do so. So the power of attorney is really a very important document. Your healthcare power of attorney as well, because what if something happens to you and you can't communicate? If you can communicate, then, you know, the medical professionals will work with you. But if you're in such a position where you can't communicate, then the healthcare power of attorney would step in and be able to do that for you. You want to make sure that that loved one who's, or that trusted person who's in that position knows what you want and understands what you want before they're stuck in a crisis and trying to make decisions for you. So these are just very important documents: the will, the power of attorney, the healthcare power of attorney. The living will simply kind of spells out your desires for, the ventilator, food and water, that kind of thing. So the really important documents: will, power of attorney, and healthcare. Outside of that, some other very important things to know is the coordination of those documents, along with how your assets are titled, what kind of assets you have, what kind of beneficiary designations you have on them. As I mentioned earlier to Sharon when she called and asked about the transfer on death designation, but I mentioned, by the way, when you're thinking about that, who's paying the inheritance tax on those assets, it might not matter if you have all the same beneficiaries, you know, kind of in the same proportion, but there are people who might say, I want this account to go to these people, and I want the rest of my estate to go to these people or these organizations. Maybe I want the IRAs to go to charity. Maybe I want my Roth IRAs to go to my, nieces and nephews. And maybe I want the sale proceeds of my house to go to, you know, somebody else. So you want to make sure that you're coordinating those documents. And sometimes I think people think the asset titling and the name designations and the beneficiary designations and making everything non-probate helps them forego the estate planning documents. And that is not the case. You still want the estate planning documents to be in order, even if you think you've captured all of the ways to make something non-probate, you know, the joint titling or beneficiary designation. From time to time, what might happen, someone could be in a car accident and then ultimately die. And it might be your executor's responsibility to file a lawsuit if there is something that was, an accident that happened because of some, mistake. So if they have to, if there's a chance that there could be some kind of lawsuit or proceeds, that could end up going through your estate. That's why you want to make sure your documents are in order and that you have that all taken care of. Maybe you were in a car accident and you are handicapped for years and maybe you can't speak. You want to make sure that you have, people in place to help with all that. in addition, you want to understand, you know, cash flow if needed, as I mentioned, and the taxes and how things apply to certain assets. Someone might have $1 million IRA and nothing else. And then if they have to pull money out to go into a nursing home, they could have a, you know, endless tax situation. But at the same time, if they're in a nursing home, they might have very high medical expenses that could kind of offset some of that income that they have. And if you don't understand how all these pieces work together, you might miss something. When we come back, I am going to talk a little bit about moving an aging parent or loved one into a new living situation and kind of address a couple articles that I found on that, because I think that's an important discussion to have, and a lot of people don't know how to go about doing that. If you have questions, and you can ask questions off topic as well, I love any questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Rosalie.
And Steve.
Join us and other hosts each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Swing Sunday, a great mix of swing, big band, and classic vocals.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. And we are talking about family and money tonight, just in regards to at the holidays, people get together. And I think it's a great opportunity to kind of talk about some financial aspects of our lives and how we rely on other people around us to help with those as we go through various elements of our life, whether it's incapacity, illness, disability, divorce, and death. So always kind of good to be abreast of your own financial situation should anything arise. I do want to also throw out there before I forget that I have had a number of clients tell me that they do this, and my own brother has told me he has done this, and I think it's fabulous. They have a black book that they put everything together in. And it'll be a list of assets and a list of, you know, expenses they have, like utilities and recurring expenses, might be a life insurance that they're paying for. So this black book is kind of, you know, kept present, so updated with all that information. And also very, very importantly, websites. And where to find passwords. Maybe the passwords aren't kept with this book. Maybe that's been communicated separately. But because sometimes people do all their banking or financial transactions online, they might not have paper documents anymore. They might not do anything. You're not going to open a drawer and find, you know, the statements from the brokerage account. It could be all online. So it's very important to make sure that's written down somewhere and communicated to the people that you're trusting for the websites and the passwords, because that might be the only clue you have into kind of gathering those assets in need. If someone becomes incapacitated and they can't, you know, communicate, then someone's got to figure out where maybe the cost of care is going to come from. And it could be on that bank account that no one knows about because it's on a website because everything's done online. So and include in there, if you don't have your documents, where are your documents, your will, your power of attorney? Maybe you have a copy in that black folder and that black book. But who should someone contact in the event something happens, as far as maybe, you know, executor, personal representative, neighbor, trusted advisor, attorney, financial advisor, accountant? have all that information in one place. My brother puts it out every time he travels, and I have clients who told me that too. Every time they go on a trip, it's sitting on the desk and ready to go. My brother told me where he kept his. It's not like out in the open, but I know where it is. And he puts it out every time he travels so that in the event anything happens, I know how to get to that information. So that, I think, is a great idea. And it's amazing, and it could feel a little overwhelming when you're first putting all this information together. And that could, you know, maybe cause a little stress or tension, make you nervous about kind of going through it because you just can't fathom it all. Believe me, there are a lot of websites and a lot of passwords people might have. But imagine how overwhelming it would be for someone who knows nothing about your financial life. Where are they going to go get this information? Are they going to go through all your drawers and your cabinets and your desk and your piles of paper? Try to do it. It's very empowering to get through this, and you'll feel better about it. And it could be a great lesson, and you could uncover things you didn't remember that you had. So it's really a good lesson. Let me talk for a minute about moving an aging parent into a new living situation. And again, it might not just be a parent. It could be, a sibling. It could be an aunt or uncle. And there were a couple articles I picked out to reference because I thought they were really good. And this is from AARP, who has a lot of great information out there, AARP.org. And this was from January 22nd, 2018. And it says, considering moving your loved one into your home. But somewhere in this article, one of the articles I had read, I loved what they had said. They said, moving a loved one or a parent into a new living situation. And I liked that because it isn't just about moving someone into a nursing home or an assisted care facility. It could be moving them into your home. It could be keeping them in their home with some modifications. So moving someone into a new living situation. I like that. Many things to consider. But in particular, if you're thinking about moving your loved one into your home, they go through some steps. So step one was, before you settle your parent into the guest room, ask yourself these questions. And there's a bunch of questions. And then step two was, your parent should consider some questions. I'll go through those. Step three was, talk openly about expectations, fears, finances, and lingering issues. Step four was, make a list of the positive aspects. Step five was, have a family meeting. And step six was, meet with your siblings too. So I thought those are really broad steps, and I'm going to go through some of the questions, but I thought this was at least you have something to kind of hang your hat on, and any guidance is good guidance. I will mention too that in my own family situation, my brother and his wife moved in with my mother. They moved into her home, and that really worked out very well, I think, from both parties' side. My mother was absolutely thrilled that she didn't have to move out of her home. I think it was probably a little harder for my brother and his wife to move into my mother's home, but that home is eventually going to become theirs anyway. So it was just a matter of time, and why not do it as my mother ages? They could kind of both acclimate themselves to the situation while my mother still was very, very independent and continues to be very independent. And they both have stayed very independent of each other, but it's such a relief and comfort to the family and to my mother to know that someone's there in the event that she needs them. For example, if it's really snowy outside, they're in Michigan, my brother or his wife can give her a ride to church, and that works out very well for her. But for the most part, the weather's good, she still can go on her own. And that was one of her conditions, that if they were to come in, live with her, she wanted to still maintain her independence. And of course, that wasn't a problem on their part. So step one, before you settle your parent into your guest room, so this is from the perspective of you bringing your parent into your home, ask yourself these questions. And I'm just going to mention a few of them. How will the move involve my spouse, children, and siblings? Well, that's critical. You certainly better be talking to your spouse and children and siblings before you make such a move, because you don't want any animosity from, let's say, a spouse who didn't know that mom was moving in. That could be a problem. How will my parents' presence affect our family routine, activities, and privacy? Are there unresolved issues between my parents and myself, my spouse and my parents? So you want to make sure that you don't have any lingering unresolved issues that, come out and at the most stressful of times. Do you have to remodel the house? Do you expect other family members to pitch in? Can you afford any extra expenses? Does your parents' income go toward the living expenses? Because that might happen too. If mom or dad move out of their home and maybe they're living on Social Security and maybe covering the cost, but now they're too old and need, to move in with someone, what's happening to that Social Security income? Could they, contribute to the household? Makes sense to me. I don't see why that would be a problem. Otherwise, their income just accumulates maybe in an account and then the other siblings inherit it. So you don't want to have any fighting about that. So it's good to kind of address some of these issues. There's other questions too. So this article again is aarp.org. It's called Considering Moving Your Loved One Into Your Home from January 22nd, 2018. Step two, your parents should consider these questions. Will the move take me away from people or activities I love? One thing I have picked up on or noticed with people who are older, when they are in a familiar environment and they have a routine, they can go on and be very independent and appear great. You take them out of that routine, you take them out of that familiar surrounding, and all of a sudden you think they have dementia because they get confused, they don't understand, they're probably stressed, maybe they can't sleep, they get tired, maybe they're not eating or drinking the way they were, because they're out of their routine. And it really could change. So you really want to make sure that if you're thinking about moving somewhere where your children are, what is that going to do to you and the people you already know and the activities you love? Does my child do things that bother or upset me? Do I like being in the company of family for long periods of time? Should I contribute part of my income or savings to living expenses? Does the home need to be remodeled? Should I contribute to that? Will other family members help out? So lots of questions there. Step three was talk openly about expectations, fears, financing, and lingering issues. It may make you uneasy, but it is the prime time to work it out or readjust your thinking, again, before it happens. When your parent states a concern, repeat it so you'll both know you understand. That's something too. If you are at a family gathering and these kind of financial topics come up, maybe it is something that you don't want to discuss when the kids are running around screaming or someone's watching a football game or the TV's on. It is a great opportunity to say, you know what, maybe we should all have a family meeting and get together and kind of talk about this when we have more information or we have all the information to kind of project where we think things are going. And maybe this isn't the time to talk about it, but this is the time to get it on the calendar and schedule something and then have those meetings or that call. And it doesn't have to be the day of the big dinner or the big football game. It could be the next morning. It could be the next afternoon. So that is something to keep in mind too. You don't want to do it when people are stressed out around you. You want to do it when you can be thoughtful about the whole process. Again, talking about moving someone into your home, make a list of the positive aspects. It could be a great opportunity for family members to, share those stories from growing up, help watch the children or the grandchildren and just kind of bond and hear, and having time together. Maybe you love this relative and you could just have fun together. So you got to make a list of the positive aspects, have a family meeting. If you're bringing a parent into your home and you have children still at home, you want to make sure that you discuss it with them too. That's just out of respect, and that can go a long way, because someday they may be doing the same thing to you. So make sure that you do it in a very thoughtful way. I hope that tonight talking about some of this will help some of you out there listening. I do think it's very, very important. I think it's good to have these conversations. I've had many myself with my mother and with my father-in-law talking about expectations. Everyone knows what to expect. If you think a family member can't handle any of this, or you think your family members will fight and argue, there are lawyers out there who can help navigate that and give you great guidance, and may serve as legal counsel on these situations and help navigate you. So I hope that helps. Folks, I am going to be out next Wednesday. We have our Thanksgiving break, so we will have a recorded show, and then I will be back the next week, December 4th, with that Medicare show with Capital Blue, following up on Medicare on December 4th, taking some more questions for people who are interested in learning more about that. And coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. I want to thank Shandi, listeners, and Lori for being here tonight. Have a great week, folks. Happy Thanksgiving.